Brethren, we have met to worship. We have done just that. We're so glad you've come to worship with us. If you're visiting today, we extend a special welcome to you. And I know we've got some visitors here all the way from Pennsylvania. Came to hear you speak today, Mike. We have our guest speaker today. A pastor is on vacation, and Mike Barrett's here. He's our mission strategist for the Piedmont Baptist Association. Probably one of the busiest men in this area, trying to keep up with a bunch of churches. We're glad he's here today, and he's going to do something for us at the end of the service too. We are starting Camp Carefree today, and at 6:30 we serve our first meal this evening, and then we'll be serving three meals a day till lunch Friday. And so we've got an opportunity to witness and be a ministry to children who have cancer and some who have Down syndrome, is what we had last year. So privilege we have of doing that. Mike's gonna have our dedication prayer for the group of people who are going. So at the end of the service, I'll ask you if you're planning on being at Camp Carefree this week, if you'll stand. You don't have to come down front. And he'll come and pray our prayer of dedication for us. It's so unique to have him here today. What a wonderful privilege. We're glad you're here. We got a lot of people missing, so hopefully they're watching on TV, so wave at them, okay? Let me lead you in a word of prayer. Our Father, we're so thankful for the privilege we have of being in your house to worship you. Lord, help us to put everything aside that would distract us today. Help us to keep our minds and our hearts focused on you and worship you. Bless Mike as he comes to bring the message later in the service. Brad and the instrumentalists as they play. Lord, help us to lift up and honor your name today in this hour. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand with me as we sing "I Stand Amazed in the Presence," 547.
Sinner condemned, ungrieved.
Sing 213, We Will Glorify.
We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is Well, good morning.
Everybody's doing wonderful. Praise the Lord for his goodness and grace today. Amen. Amen. So I've already been to church this morning and was challenged by a message. And so I get to now challenge you with the word of God. I'm so thankful for that. Thankful to be here as your strategist. We got some exciting things happening in the association. One of those is we have a brand new Nepali church. It's called Life Nepali. The pastor just got here 2 weeks ago. His name is Bishu. And again, we'll begin reaching again the Asian people again in the High Point area, that especially Nepali people. So we're excited about that. And then we also have another brand new church that's starting. Again, we have a pastor coming from Mexico to start a church over in Kernersville to reach the Hispanic population there. And there's a large population around the church where he's going to be at. And so we're really excited that we get to partner together to reach those people there. So God is on the move. Again, many are being baptized, we hear. Vacation Bible School has been going great around our communities. And so we're thankful for that. Just praise the Lord again for his grace and goodness every day in our lives. Well, take your Bibles, if you would, go to Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, and John chapter 16, verse 33. That's going to be the two passages of scripture that we're going to focus on. You have a sheet there that we gave out to begin, but don't look at that until the end of the service, all right? We're not going to be preaching from that till the end of the service, so just set that aside and don't be reading that while I preach, all right? We'll walk through that together. No, just again, let you know again where we're going to be with that particular item there. So let's jump in and again read verse 10 of chapter 41. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you." Anybody need strength here today? Hello? "I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And then going over to John chapter 16, verse 33, it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." Anybody desire peace today? Yeah, okay, we all do. That's a key word in the world in which you and I live. Everybody is interested in peace. And so it says, again, "I have spoken these words that you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have done what? I have overcome the world." So there are three words I want to write upon your heart in our time together. The word faith, the word strength, and the word peace that again comes from God's precious word. You know as I do, we live in an upside down world, right? Anybody agree with me there? The world is in turmoil. The world is in crisis. The world is in darkness. The world is in great need of revival. And it's in great need of the church, again, truly being on mission to declare the good news of the gospel. And as we walk through this upside down world, you and I need a proper perspective as followers of Jesus. Therefore, the word of God says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be like this world. Don't even think like this world, the word of God says. But again, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know that which is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And so we need a filter, again, to process, again, the decisions that you and I are going to make. And there are three words that, again, help us process, again, those things as a good filter for life. And they are faith, and they are, again, strength, and the peace of God that goes beyond understanding. So, again, I want you to remember, we're not of this world. We're strangers passing through. Anybody agree with that? We're just strangers passing through. And so we're not like anyone else. And so the word of God says we're not to be fearful in this world. In fact, we live by faith, not by fear. Don't let your heart be troubled, the word of God says. I'm giving you a gift of peace, so that you won't be anxious about the stuff that's going around you, but you'll pray about those and you'll have your faith and confidence in the living God. So don't let your heart be troubled, the word of God says. Now, in verse 27 of chapter 14, where he talks about don't let your heart be troubled, he reminds us again that he's giving us a gift of peace. Let's again run back and read that for a moment. "Peace I leave with you.
My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so he says, I'm giving you a gift of peace, peace of mind and peace of heart. Again, and the peace I'm giving to you, the world can't give. And the good news is the world can't take it away from you. You see, there's never a moment that God's going to say, I didn't see this coming. There's never going to be a moment that God's going to be surprised by what is happening in the world. Because again, he holds all the world together. And so he's not surprised. And he tells you and I that he's always faithful, that he has a plan, and that he's able to bring good out of everything that happens in this world. So he's working for good, not only for this world, but for you. And he's never going to leave you. And the battle is his. And so again, remember again the peace that God gives. The world is falling apart. But guess what? We're not like the world. We don't think like the world. You see, faith is not logical. And faith is not illogical. Faith is theological. What I mean by that is faith is adding God to the situation. And when you add God to the situation, it changes everything. Amen? It changes everything as we add God. And so God speaks here of the peace that he gives you and gives me in the journey of life. So I want you to take just a moment and thank him for that peace. Would you just bow your heart? And just take a moment to thank him for the peace that he gives, again, in the anxiousness of the life in which we find ourselves living. God, thank you that you're the God of peace. You're the Prince of Peace. And Lord, you came to give us the gift of peace and your Son, the Prince of Peace. And Lord, in receiving Christ, we receive something the world can't give and the world can't take away. And I thank you, God, for the gift of peace that goes beyond understanding. Even when we can't comprehend life or figure out life or explain life, Lord, you give a gift that resonates within us, that causes our heart not to be anxious or not to be afraid, but to know our peace is from you. Thank you, God, for that peace. Make it real today. To anyone in here that's anxious, make it real today to anyone who's doubting. Make it real today for anyone going through a storm, a troubled time. God, speak your peace, I pray, into their journey, into their heart, into their mind, into their life right now. In Jesus' name, amen. I like the story of the guy who said, pass me the extra strength Tylenol. I don't have a headache, but I need extra strength. Anybody with me there? Again, as we go through this world, we find ourselves, again, needing that extra strength that's required for every day. I'm sure you know what it's like to feel tired. Anybody out there? Yes, we do. Psalm 24, verse 10 says, if you falter in a time of trouble, how small is your strength? Strong determination to tackle every day, again, is needed by you and by me. Ephesians 6:10 says we're told to be strong. In fact, the word strong is found 40 times in Scripture as he reminds us, be strong in the Lord. And so what did it say in verse 10 of chapter 41? I come to give you what? Strength, the strength of the Lord. And what does he say about that strength? I can do all things through Christ who does what? Who strengtheneth me. And so God, again, is that strength. Deuteronomy says, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or terrified, for the Lord your God goes with you. Again, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And so what is that strength? That strength is the power of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. The Lord, our God, is alive and powerful. The Bible repeats often that there is nothing impossible for him. It repeats often that our God is able. Ephesians 1, 19 and 20 says, again, the same mighty strength that raised Jesus from the dead is able again to lift you and make you strong everywhere you go. Did you know that word strength and strengthen is found over 200 times in Scripture? Now, I don't know if you're walking in darkness. You don't want a weak flashlight. Amen? If you're walking in darkness, you want a strong flashlight that guides you again in every step that you take. You want to make sure, again, that it's working well. And I'm here to tell you that the strength of the Lord is working well. God is able, and He's able to do above exceedingly greater than anything you could ask or anything that you could imagine. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole world. Again, to catch and strengthen those whose heart is fully committed to Him. But one of the best scriptures I just read to you and quoted to you was, again, the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead is available to you to live your life. The same Holy Spirit that made you quicken from the dead to life is able to give you victory every day you walk. You see, the news was He was dead. He died. He was crucified on that cross. But Jesus had been telling them that Sunday was coming, that He was going to be resurrected in 3 days. Now, they had a hard time understanding that. They had a hard time believing that. In fact, they didn't grasp that until after the resurrection and Jesus appeared to them. But after that fact, they knew that, again, He was alive. And in fact, again, when they went to the grave, the angel said, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is alive." The good news is the grave could not hold Him. And death could not defeat Him. And the scripture says He overcame. Now, what does that mean for you? The first thing it means is Christ frees me. Hallelujah. Because of that resurrection, because of that death payment on the cross that covered my sin, because of the blood of Christ that was shed for every sin I would ever commit in my life, that would cover and cleanse and wash me free. Again, Christ frees me. He frees me from death. He frees me from sin's dominion. He frees me from sin's power. And He frees me from sin's bondage. Hallelujah. How did Paul write it in Romans 8:1? "Now there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. Amen. There's no condemnation. There's no one that can accuse me before the Father, because He's already paid for every sin that I would ever commit. And none of that's going to surprise Him. And that's the reason He went to the cross. And so He says later in that scripture, Paul says, "Not only am I under no condemnation, no one can accuse me because Jesus has rescued, redeemed, and saved me. I am an overcomer," he says, "of all things in Christ Jesus." Wow. Not some things, but all things. Now that's power. Amen. That's strength, amen. That's victory, victorious living. Christ frees me. But that's just the beginning. The second thing it does, it fills me. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God, the presence of Jesus. Again, I live according to His Spirit. I am empowered to walk in newness. Every blessing in Jesus Christ is mine. Just read Ephesians chapter 1. And it just reminds you of every blessing of forgiveness and grace and strength is yours in Christ Jesus. Every blessing. And then it says every need that you and I have, it's met in Christ Jesus. Just read Psalm 23 again. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not what? I shall not want." Every need that I have, He is able to do beyond what you asked or think or imagine. "I have come to give you life," Jesus said, "and it is abundant." So John 10:10 just reminds us that that we're to overflow in love, that we're to overflow in joy, that we're to overflow in peace and power and hope. He equips you for everything that's going to happen in your life, and for every good work, He fills you. Praise the Lord. And so you're not living just in your power. Because there are days your power gives out, but His power never lessens any. We again walk in His power. We're renewed in His strength. We're able to again to face everything in His peace as we place our faith in the living Lord every single day. And then it says He finishes me. I like that. Not only does He free me and He fills me, but He finishes me. He's going to complete me one day, that I'm going to be able to stand in the presence of the Lord. And I'm going to declare again the greatness and goodness of God. I don't know if I'll be on my face. I don't know if I'll be shouting praise. I don't know my reaction, as that kind of song says. You remember that song? Yeah. I don't know what my reaction is going to be. But again, when I behold Him, what a divine moment. What a sacred moment that, again, the Lord welcomes me and finishes me and completes me. What does the Word of God say? He that began a good work in you will do what?
Complete it.
He'll finish it. He'll finish his work, and he'll help you finish your race and your course of what God has for you upon this earth as you walk with him and trust him and put your faith in him each and every day. I am come that you may have life and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full, everything that you are. Amen? And so there are three words. Have they captured you today? First of all, there's what? Faith. It's impossible to please him without it. You won't know him without it. You won't live in victory without it. Now, what's the best definition of faith? The best definition is believing in advance what's only going to make sense looking back in reverse. You've heard me say that before. That's the best definition of faith you're going to find, is believing in advance. You walk through the scripture. Every scripture reminds us of all the saints of God. They didn't know what was going to happen in advance, but they trusted God. They put their faith, and then they look back and they saw God's faithfulness. And you'll do the same if you'll put your faith in the living God. And you'll overcome, and you'll have victory, and you'll praise the Lord. Because God wants you to grow in faith every day. And then it says, he strengthens us. And then it says, he gives us that gift of peace. Now I want you to take out that sheet with me, if you would. And I want to walk through again these 10 powerful things in the universe that can revolutionize your life and cause you to grow in faith, to be strengthened in the Lord, and to have the peace of God that goes beyond understanding. Amen? So the first one is the power of the blood of Jesus. Nothing else can cleanse us or cleanse you from sin. But praise God, it can. Amen? And it still works today. Amen? There's nothing lessened about the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Without Jesus giving his life, being again that sin debt payment in full for your sins, you would have no means, no way of knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. But praise God for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It can cleanse you from every sin. And I remember that day. I hope you remember that day. And I remember many days since then that the Spirit of God just moved over my heart and just reminded me of the cleansing and the freshness and the wonderful presence that I was washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Man, when I confessed my sin as a young boy and asked him to be my Savior, there was newness that came into my heart. There was a burden that was lifted. Again, from the debt of the weight of that sin that weighed upon my heart like it did yours. The second truth is the power of the gospel. Nothing else can save your soul. So thank God for the gospel and that you heard it. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But in hearing it and having it transformed your life, you need to understand it's the only thing that can transform anybody's life. We bring nothing to God but our sin. The only part we have in salvation is we bring our sin to him. It's all grace, and it's all the gospel of him so loving you and so loving me. And again, we need to recognize again and make sure we don't falter from this truth that again, it's the power of gospel. We should never be ashamed of it, for it's the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. And this world needs to hear it. And I'm afraid we're silent about it. Hello? We're not telling many people about it. I remember the day that it used to be called the greatest story never told. You know, in scripture, many times it tells again the miracles that happened to certain people. Jesus would tell them, go and tell nobody. And they went and told what? Everybody. And he tells us to go tell everybody, and we do what? We tell nobody. We're silent about it. When was the last time you shared the gospel with anyone? We should be on mission all the time. Why? Because it's the only thing that can cause faith to be birthed in a person's heart. It's the only thing that can save a soul. Then there's the power of the cross. And I love this one. Nothing else can deliver you from who? Yourself. Oh, we all have big egos sometimes. Hello? Yeah. Be careful. Be careful. Again, it's the power of the cross that delivers us. And what does Jesus say I'm to do every single day of my life? I'm to take up my cross and I'm to follow him. But what else am I to do every day? In taking up that cross, if I'm to follow him, I've got to what? Die daily. Yeah. That's why the cross is so significant. Because I come to the end of myself, and when I come to the end of myself, that's the beginning of him doing his glorious work of grace and mercy in my life and through my life, the power of the cross. And therefore, Paul said, I preach nothing but the cross of Jesus Christ, because again, it's only through the cross that again, you and I are delivered from ourselves. And then there's the power of the Word of God. Nothing else can bring you transforming truth. Man, the Word cleanses. The Word washes. The Word, again, equips. The Word of God teaches, again, and convicts you and cautions you and directs your steps. That, the Word of God says, it's a lamp under my feet. So that lamp, again, is a broad light, right? And it's a light. That light is a direct light, not just a broad light. It's an individual light that, again, guides my every step. And so he gives me through his word how to make decisions, how to step, where to go, again, in the journey that I follow him with everything that I am. And then there's the power of God. Nothing else can keep you from evil. And I can tell you, evil's everywhere. And I can tell you, the evil one has targeted you and is after you. And if he can make you stumble, if he can take away your joy, if he can rob your peace, again, if he can weaken you, you better believe he will. I mean, just look and listen to the world and even to the great preachers of the day of how many are falling. Yeah. And letting sin ruin their ministry and their testimony and their life. Man, it is only by the power of God that, again, we arrive and, again, honoring the Lord with our life. Then there's the power of the Holy Spirit. And I love this one. Nothing else can make you like Jesus. You know, we are to be like Jesus, right? We're to be imitators of Christ Jesus, right? Isn't that what the Word of God says? We're to be imitators of Christ. And so, again, the Spirit is the only thing that can make you like him. And so the Spirit empowers you. The Spirit, again, guides you. The Spirit, again, enables you, again, through the fruit of the Spirit to be like Jesus. One of the great things to do is to take, again, Ephesians over, I mean, Galatians, and it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and just put Jesus in there. Because Jesus is perfect love. Jesus is perfect peace. Jesus is perfect. All of those, again, Jesus is the personification of all of that and wants us, again, to be like him. You heard me preach sometime back. You probably forgot it by now. But what would it be like for Jesus to live your life one day with his heart? It'd change everything. It would change everything. The world would detect more joy. The world would detect more love. The world would detect more Jesus in you if you were living your life, if Jesus was living your life with his heart. And that's what he wants us to do. The power of the Spirit enables that. Then there's the power of resurrection. Nothing else can give you eternal hope. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that resurrection. I'm looking forward to the call of Christ, again, that I can step from this world to that world and be in the presence of the Lord forever. This world has very little to offer anymore. Hello? Yeah, it has little. But again, think of what eternity is going to be like. I've done, I don't know how many funerals. They call me the funeral pastor of Greensboro. The last 4 years I was at Pleasant Garden, I did 200. Now, I'm constantly still doing them all the time. Yeah. And when we stand by a grave, or we stand to comfort people in that hour, these are not just words to say, people. This is a heartfelt belief. We know. We trust. We have all the confidence in the power of the gospel, in the power of Jesus Christ, that death is not the end, that death does not win, that in Jesus we overcome by the power of the Lamb of God. And then there's the power of prayer. Nothing else can move the hand of God like prayer. You know what we're finding? We're not praying as much as we need to. I tell you what else we're finding. We're not praying as desperate as we need to. Man, it all depends on you and I praying. And so I pray that there is a person upon your heart that you're praying for to come into the kingdom of God. Because all of us know lost people around us, right? Don't go a day without praying for that. I hope you're praying for your family, for your children, your grandchildren to be in love with God and never lose that love. Because it's so easy to do that in this world in which we are in. So you pray faithfully for your children and your grandchildren. I can tell you the number one request as a pastor that I received through the years of 43 years of pastoring was pray that my kid never stop living and loving Jesus. Amen. And the number one heartache as a pastor was hearing a parent tell me about their child who's become wayward and they are desperate for them to come back to faith. And the multitudes of kids like that. And so we pray and we pray and we pray because prayer moves heaven and prayer opens the window of heaven for revival and renewal and restoration in our life and the life of people. And then there's the power of grace. Nothing else can make you completely sufficient. Nothing can make you completely sufficient apart from the grace of God. You know, you can be the best parent in the world, but if you don't have the grace of God, it's hopeless. You can be the best husband or wife in the world, but if you don't have the grace of God, I tell you, it won't work out. It's all God and His mercy and His grace active in you and me, and that is so important. And then the last is the power of faith. Nothing else can keep you to the end. Nothing else can keep you to the end. And God wants you to get to the end, right? We all run the race, the scripture says. But we want to run that we win. He that endures to the end, the scripture reminds us, is he that's been faithful. And he that can count on the grace and mercy of God being sufficient. So we want to get to the end. Amen? Your best days are ahead. As God strengthens you, as God gives you peace, as you walk in faith, in Christ every single day. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank you. Just to remind us, you give a gift of peace. I hope everybody here has opened it. I hope they're experiencing it. I hope they're enjoying it. Because, Lord, this world sure is in turmoil. And it sure can cause, again, a weariness and an anxiousness of the soul. But Lord, that's not your heart. That's not your heart at all. And so you remind us, don't let your heart be troubled. Trust. And so Lord, we pray for that faith to trust, to believe, to know, to be certain that your word and your promises, everyone is yes in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that in our moments of weakness, you give us strength. And I pray, Lord, that in our weakness, the devil will not overcome us in any way. But Lord, we'll be renewed, as the scripture says in Isaiah, so that we can run and we can walk, even when the way is difficult and it's hard to put another foot upon the other. God, you're able to give us that strength to endure and overcome. And then, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the gift of faith. It's not something we work up. It's a gift from you. And so renew, restore, revive our faith today so that we walk in victory and we overcome through you and we do all things through your strength is our prayer. In Jesus' name. Just a moment, we're going to stand and have our invitation. The altar is open for you to come and pray. And I would just remind you, man, we just said something about prayer that's so important. You might want to come pray for revival for this nation or pray for revival for this church or pray for your children to be in the Lord and stay in the Lord. Pray for strength and health. Pray for your faith to be pleasing to the Lord. Pray for God to use you to make a difference in somebody's life. Lord, you know what our commitment needs to be in this hour, in this moment. For that person that doesn't have peace, I pray you give that as a gift today to them. And Lord, the only way to have that is to know you as Lord and Savior of our life. So if there's one under the sound of my voice that needs to put their faith in you and be forgiven their sins, and Lord, you become their Savior. They commit their heart to you, their life to you. God, hear that prayer today. A simple confession, a simple moment of faith to say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, cleanse me, wash me. Lord, thank you for loving me so much that you took my place on the cross and wanting me to be a part of your family. And today I want to become a part of your family. And so I believe. Maybe that was you today. Or maybe you just need to ask the Lord to give you strength for the valley you're having to go through, or the battle you're having to face, of the storm that you're in. God, give me strength. Lord, increase our faith is all of our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand?
Number 281, Speak to My Heart.
Father, we thank you for the message we've heard, the challenge, Lord. We all need peace, and we need grace, and we need mercy, and we need strength, and we need to be aware of your ever non-ending love for us. Lord, thank you for who you are. Studying in Sunday school this morning, verse of scripture in Acts that the people who saw Peter and John knew they'd been with Jesus. God, help us to live our lives so people know we've been with Jesus. Now, Lord, as we take this offering, we pray, Lord, that you would bless it. You would bless each gift and each giver, and use the gift that others might come to know Jesus and know him as Lord. We ask it in his name. Amen. Thank you, Vicki. A few announcements and we'll be able to get you out of here. First off, we have a birthday tomorrow. Maury Kelly has a birthday tomorrow. Give her a happy birthday wish while she's here today. If you miss her today, just send her a text or something. Tell her happy birthday. Our schedule for today is there's no D-Life meeting this afternoon or Monday night. We won't be doing that again until after Labor Day. And the 6 o'clock Bible study will not be taking place today because most of those people will be at Camp Carefree. And if you're scheduled to be at Camp Carefree today, we need to be there at 4:30, supper 6:30. So we need a couple hours to cook. So that also carries on during next week. If you're scheduled for the lunch meal 2 hours before 12:30, 2 hours before 6:30 at night. So that's what time you need to be there. Now, one thing that is happening today here at the church is we're having band rehearsal tonight. The band's getting ready for the patriotic service on Saturday. And if you haven't signed up for that today, by today, please do so because we need to know how many are coming. As far as we can tell, there's close to 100 people signed up to be there Saturday. Free hot dogs and apple pie, the all-American meal. You'll enjoy it. We have the girls' choir coming, the Guilford Fife and Drum Corps will be there, and then our band will be playing also. So you plan on coming, you won't be sorry you came, I promise. Tuesday, there's no Bible study at the Howertons. Paul is still sick. Please pray for Paul. He's had about 2 weeks of some really bad viral things. Wednesday, the men's breakfast at Colfax at the Olympic restaurant at 10 a.m. Just come and fellowship with us. Then, already said about Saturday, the patriotic concert. Tuesday, the 9th, is the blood drive. Our bi-monthly blood drive will take place, 2:30 to 6:30. And then July 21st through 25th, at 5 o'clock to 8 p.m., is Awaken having Bibles, the Vacation Bible School here. So we'll be doing that. Now, I told you earlier in the service that we always, come on, Mike, we always have a prayer of dedication for our mission teams going out, and though we're not going very far, this is a mission team. Would you please stand if you plan on going to work at Camp Carefree this week? This will be our prayer of dedication and also our benediction. Go ahead, Bob.
That's great. Thank you, Father, that you call us to be on mission. You call us to give our life to care for others. I've loved and been carefree. What I just pray is these precious people from
Central Baptist Church go to be your love, go to be your hands and feet, go to be your heart. To the people that are in crisis or in need or just journeying through life, that'll be at camp this week. Lord, bless as they prepare the food, bless as they serve the food, bless as they have conversation, bless as they are the light and salt that will shine forth and touch the hearts and minister to the hearts of all those present. God, may you be honored. Thank you for the heart of this church to reach outside the walls of this church, to be on mission and care for others, and to do it in your name and to do it for your sake. So give strength, give blessings, give joy, give smiles. Lord, do that. That they will touch the hearts of every person there to receive your love through these people. Bless the camp itself. May it bring about salvations. May it bring about a renewal of faith. May it make those there stronger in the faith. May you be glorified is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.